Open your Bible to Psalm 2, please. Apparently, just a few minutes ago, we had some technical difficulties. If you were not hearing my voice a moment ago, you saw my mouth moving, but you didn't hear anything. That was a problem on our end of things. We apologize for that. Open your Bible to the second psalm. Psalm 2, a very brief psalm, and seemed to me very fitting for the times that we live in. And of course, all of God's Word is fitting for our times. The Bible tells us that we are to understand our times so that we'll know how to walk in a way that pleases God. The book of Ephesians says, walk not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time, for the days are evil. And when Ephesians says, making the most of the time, the Greek word there is kairos. It means your moment, as the sense that we would say, know the times you live in. And Psalm 2 really speaks to our times. So hear now the Word of God, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. He holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. But blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Would you bow with me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You've often, if you've been listening to me very long, you've probably heard me say, the world is not a spiritually neutral place. And that's one of the most frequent mistakes that we make in understanding our world. Remember Ephesians 2 that I quoted for you just a moment ago. Be careful then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of the time, for the days are evil. One central piece of biblical wisdom is to recognize that the world is not a spiritually neutral place. The world is in rebellion against God. The world that does not know God is in rebellion against God and, in fact, hates God. Now, the world doesn't like hearing this, but we know that it's true because only once in human history, in all the history of creation, only once the creator of our world took on human flesh and came among us and made himself vulnerable as a servant, and we killed him. This world is in rebellion against God. Psalm 2 testifies to it. So don't be surprised, brothers and sisters. I think very often Christians are surprised when they meet resistance to Christianity. They meet resistance to the overtures in the of Christianity. We meet resistance to the proclamation of Christian truth in the world. And we get labeled as hateful and disruptive. Don't be surprised. We like to think, oh, wow, we're Christians. We mean well. And we just want to do you good. And then we meet resistance from the world. Where did that come from? Many years ago, a mentor of mine, a wonderful pastor now retired named Ben Patterson, and he said to a group of, this is back when I was a young pastor, he said to this group of young pastors, he said, never, ever be surprised when you meet resistance to the gospel, because the world is not a spiritually neutral place. He said, think of yourself as a soldier in combat. And a soldier in combat is never offended when the enemy shoots at him. He's not surprised when the enemy shoots at him. He doesn't stand up and say, hey, what's going on here? What do you think you're doing? Was it something I said? No. The soldier in combat knows that he has an enemy and expects to get shot at. The soldier in battle knows that it's not about him. It's about the cause for which he fights. And it's a principle that applies to all believers. And Psalm 2 indicates it. Why do the kings of the earth take their stand against the Lord and against his anointed? The psalm begins with that question. Jesus Christ, God's purpose in the world, has powerful enemies. When you sign on with Jesus, you get his enemies in the bargain. That's what Psalm 2 is all about. It's about the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ. Now, in its original context, Psalm 2 is talking about God's anointed king reigning in Jerusalem, of course, beginning with King Saul and then David. And by the way, in the Psalter, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2 is not attributed, although in the New Testament it is attributed to David. So when this psalm, Psalm 2, speaks about God's anointed, it's in its original context, it's talking about the king of God's people, Israel, who reigns in Jerusalem. But of course, now, looking back on it from our side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we see in it a prophetic word about Jesus Christ and his reign over all. Listen to the way Psalm 2 begins once again. Why do the nations rage? Why is there so much anger in the world? And particularly, why is there so much anger directed against righteousness, against God and his ways? Why do the nations rage? Why do the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth, in other words, the rulers of this earth, the authorities of this world, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. So the psalm is telling us there's an organized rebellion in the world against the Lord and against his anointed. And once again, his anointed, that's Old Testament speak for God's designated king, the one that to whom God has given authority in the world. Now, once again, coming to our side of the cross and resurrection of Jesus, I know that you already know that Christ is not the last name of Jesus. It's his title. And it really, technically, there should be a "the" in the middle. Jesus the Christ. It's the Greek form of the Hebrew Messiah, which means anointed one, God's designated king. And Psalm 2 tells us that the forces and movement of human authority in this world hate Jesus Christ, and they have hated him from the beginning. When Jesus came into the world in the flesh, the authorities of first century Judea, a conspiracy between Rome and Israel, crucified him. They didn't welcome him. They were not neutral toward him. They hated him. And the authorities of this world still do. Psalm 2 tells us that they even meditate on their hatred. It's almost a form of anti-prayer. Look at verse 1 again. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? If you know your Psalter, and I want you to think about that word plot. If you know your Psalter, Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who is planted like a tree by a stream of water, meditating on God's word. On God's word he meditates day and night." Okay? The Hebrew word behind meditate in Psalm 1 is the very same word behind plot in Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot? So they're meditating on, they're thinking on, they're rolling over in their heart. As once again, it's a kind of anti-prayer. How can we push God out of the world? While we are praying, while Christians are praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," those who reject God and war against him are meditating, how can we push his kingdom out of the world and reject him? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, this conflict that I've been talking about is really, the New Testament tells us, is a spiritual conflict. So don't be too quick to identify human enemies. There are certainly falsehoods in this world, and there are certainly powerful forces that are in the wrong and opposing Christ and his way. But behind them, the real power, I think Psalm 2, when it talks about the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together, I think we can see in that what Paul was talking about in his letter to the Ephesians, Ephesians 6, where Paul says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Remember, brothers and sisters, that what we're up against is not flesh and blood, but the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's why this is a battle that can only be won with prayer. That's why this is a battle that can only be won with hearts that are shaped by God in prayer. This is a battle that will be won on our knees. And that doesn't mean we never act in the world. Of course not. But we begin with prayer. And prayer is the fountain out of which action flows. You're either spending your time meditating on rebellion, like those who plot against the Lord and against his anointed, or you're meditating on the Word of God and how I can be a part, how you can be a part of his purpose in the world, of sharing the gospel of the good news of the saving love of God in Jesus Christ. I really believe that in order to understand the world from a Christian standpoint, you have to be a two-world person. There is this world that we can see, and behind it, there is an invisible world of spiritual realities that we cannot see. There are unseen, malevolent powers behind the thrones and authorities of this world. They are darker and more evil than we can know. The likes of Hitler and Stalin and Mao and Pol Pot and Osama bin Laden, these are mere slaves and houseboys. They're lackeys for what Paul calls the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Well, Psalm 2, getting back to Psalm 2, Psalm 2 assures us of two things. First of all, it assures us of the outcome of the battle. That's not in doubt. Christ will reign. That's why it commands us, kiss the Son. In other words, submit to him. We're going to get to that more in a minute. You'll either submit to him or you'll come under his judgment. You'll either come under his blessing or under his judgment. We'll get to that in a minute. Psalm 2 assures us of the outcome of the battle, and it shows us how to fight the battle, beginning in prayer. Listen to verse 3. This is what the enemies of the Lord say. The enemies of the Lord say, "Let us burst their bonds apart." Think of bonds, you know, like you're handcuffed or you're tied with a rope. The enemies of the Lord say, "Let us burst their bonds apart. Let us cast away their cords from us." This is always the battle cry of God's enemies. Now think about, what do bonds and cords do? And they place a limit on you. The forces of evil in this world, and we can see this all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 in the garden, the spiritual forces of evil that are at work in the world will always lie to you and will always tell you that any limitation that God has put on you is nothing but a bond. It's nothing but handcuffs. Remember the temptation that was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden. God had placed a tree off limits, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, "Don't eat that tree. You can eat of every other tree in the garden." God put a limit on them. I am God, you're not. I am God, you are my creature. Obey my will and you'll flourish, you'll have life. But the tempter came along with a lie and said, no. He's trying to put you in bonds. He's trying to put a limit on you. Because God knows that when you eat that fruit, you'll be like him. You'll be godlike, knowing good and evil. Evil always sees the law of God. Faith sees the law of God as freedom. We see God's law as freedom to live and flourish with one another and with our Heavenly Father, and to flourish within His blessing, within the bounds of His blessing. Evil will always say that God's laws, God's limitations are nothing but bonds that you need to break if you're going to be free. That's a lie. It always has been. Think about rebellion against God in all its forms, whether it's nations or peoples or families or individuals. And I want you to ask today, and as you pray Psalm 2, and I really do recommend, pray this psalm. Search your own heart before we go looking around us in the world. Search your own heart. In what ways have I raised my fist against God and railed against His authority? In what ways have I seen God's law in my life as a limitation and something that has frustrated me and that I needed to break free? When you pray Psalm 2, begin by confessing the rebellion in your own spirit. Confess the rebellion in your own heart. Then confess on behalf of your people. Confess on behalf of your family. Confess on behalf of our nation. Pray, God, our nation is in rebellion against You in so many ways. Forgive us. Have mercy on us. Count yourself among the people who need renewal and revival to turn towards God. Listen to what the Lord says in verse 6. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Now, Zion is actually, if you go back to the old city of Jerusalem at the time of David, it was a very small city. And Zion, the hill of Zion, was actually right outside the city. And it's the hill on which the temple would eventually sit after David. Solomon built the temple. But often in the Old Testament, Zion is, it's either a reference to the hill on which the temple sits, or it can be used as a reference to the whole city of Jerusalem. But it's where God's king reigns. Listen to verse 6. I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. In other words, God is proclaiming the sovereignty of His designated ruler. When you pray, begin. This is why Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. May You be exalted. May Your name, who You are, be exalted throughout the earth. Give praise to the Lord Jesus Christ, that God has appointed Him as sovereign over all. I read you the text just a few minutes ago from Philippians 2, that Jesus has been given, His Father has given Him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bend and every tongue confess that He is Lord. So begin your prayer by acknowledging Him, Lord of all. Then look at verse 8. God says, ask of Me, and I will make the nations your heritage, the ends of the earth your possession. Who owns the nations of the earth? Who ultimately is sovereign over all the powers of earth? Nations belong to the Father, and it's His will that they will be given to His Son, and He will be exalted. Remember that in the Great Commission that Jesus gave to His church in Matthew 28, said, go to all nations and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus commanded us to go to all nations. That great commission flows right out of Psalm 2. The warfare described in this psalm is nothing less than the battle to proclaim the gospel in every nation and to win the obedience of faith from all peoples. Psalm 2, brothers and sisters, this is a very big psalm, so when you pray it, pray big prayers. It's not just for isolated individuals. It begins there. This is a big psalm about the whole earth. Pray bold prayers that all of the peoples of the earth will hear the good news of the gospel. Pray for our country that people will hear the good news and respond in faith. I want to suggest to you a bold exercise in prayer. If you've got a globe in your house, use that globe as a prompt for prayer. Even put your hand as you pray, put your hand, touch your finger on places on that globe that you want to pray for. Let's be praying for Guatemala. We've got Abby and Preston, part of our congregation, who are going to be leaving soon, in God's good provision. And by the way, if you haven't made a commitment yet, I encourage you to pray about that if God would lead you to make a financial commitment, but definitely make a prayer commitment to them. We should have 100% prayer commitment for Preston and Abby. But as you pray, take that globe, put your finger on Guatemala. Pray. Take trouble spots in the world. Put your hand on them and pray for the reign of Christ to come in its fullness. Get really bold. Put your hand on the United States of America and pray for a great revival and renewal of faith, for repentance, for turning, for a turning toward God. Finally, listen to verse 12. Verse 12 presents us with a choice. And before I read it, let me just say that we're often tempted to think that, well, the world is such a complicated place, I can never even begin to understand it. Well, look at the world in the terms of Psalm 2. It's actually a very simple place. We either acknowledge the reign of God and his anointed king, or we go our own rebellious way. It's actually quite simple. There are two paths, the way of life and the way of death. This is what Jesus said, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, enter by the narrow door, for the way is narrow, difficult, and leads to life, and few find it. He said, there's another way that's wide and easy, and most go that way. Jesus made it very simple. Psalm 2 makes it very simple. Look at verse 12. Kiss the Son. And it's S-O-N. Now, once again, in its original context, kiss God's anointed king. None of us have ever had to do this, but you've seen it in some old movies where someone approaches the king is seated on his throne, and some servant approaches the throne, and the king extends his hand. And what do? You kiss his hand, or you kiss his ring. It's a sign of submission. Verse 12, kiss the Son. In other words, in its original context, it was submit to God's anointed king who reigns over Israel. But in its larger context, submit to Jesus Christ. Submit to God's anointed king who reigns over all, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. There's really two choices here. You can rebel against God and think you're freeing yourself, but it's really a form of captivity. And in the end, we'll end in judgment. And to be cast out from eternal life. The alternative is the freedom that comes from submitting to Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son. Submit to Him. Submit every area of your life to Him. Brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of Christians in this world who want to receive Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Yes, Jesus, I'd like to have you in my life as my Savior to protect me from hell, but this Lord part I'm not terribly comfortable with. I'm going to keep directing this ship. I'm the captain of my fate. To kiss the Son, to submit to Jesus Christ, means we receive Him not only as Savior, but also as Lord. Lord Jesus, You're in charge now. I'm submitted to You. My life belongs to You. All of my relationships belong to You. My money belongs to You. My career belongs to You. My family belongs to You. My country belongs to You. And I submit myself. The choice is between wrath, kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way, for His wrath is quickly kindled. We choose the way of being in the outer darkness outside of Christ, or the way of blessing. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Blessed, happy, fulfilled, knowing God, knowing why you're alive, knowing your purpose in life, being a part of God's great work of redeeming love in the world. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great psalm, and we thank You for the truth that You have exalted Jesus Christ over all, and He reigns. And even though the kings of the earth rage and plot, all of their rebellion and all of their plotting is in vain, because in the end they will lose, O God, and You will win. And Your anointed one, Your Christ, will be all in all. Father, we bow our hearts today. Receive our lives, I pray. By Your grace and by Your Holy Spirit, take our submitted lives, O God, and use us for Your purpose in the world, and renew our hope. O God, protect us from any kind of despair or hopelessness, knowing that Your ultimate reign is never in doubt. And we pray it in the name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen.